Revelation chapter 8 is where we left off last time. If you have need of a Bible, raise your hand good and high. One of these fine gentlemen will hand one to you so you can follow along with us. Again, Revelation chapter 8. Where's your Bible? Okay, good. You ready? You already ready? Good student. See her there with her hands crossed, like, I'm not opening my Bible. Revelation chapter 8. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word. We are grateful for the scriptures, our Bibles, that we can open at any time, read at any moment, and know that you will speak to us, for these are the very words of God spoken to man. God, I pray that your word would speak powerfully to all of us here this morning, that as we continue to go through the book of Revelation, that you would reveal to us your heart, your will, and your plan for the end times. And let us never miss, Lord, now that we're getting in some of the more dramatic type areas of the scriptures, let us not forget that Jesus Christ is on the throne, that he is in control right now, and that we would never lose focus, that nothing escapes your attention and nothing is out of your control, even in our own lives. So as we study this area, we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us, that we would be those Christians that are faithful right to the very end. So God, glorify yourself in this time, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One of the most powerful tools that God has given to us, I would imagine you would agree, is prayer. The ability to pray, the ability to have the ear of the Almighty God, to be able to speak to the Creator. It's a very simple thing, prayer is, but why is it sometimes we find it the most difficult to accomplish on a regular basis? You know, prayer is that time that we spend certainly communicating to God our needs, our wants, our desires, our desire for God to bless our lives, but it's also a time for us to connect with God, to not only speak to him, but to hear back from him his direction. Prayer is not simply just a list of requests that we give to God. It's part of it. Don't get me wrong. I never want to misinterpret that. Yes, we certainly want to let God know what we need. He already knows, but we want him to know that we know what we need. But that's not all that prayer is. No, prayer should be a time when you can spend time thanking God for what he's done in your past. I don't know about you, but sometimes in my prayer life, I jump right into the things I want. And it takes me a moment in my prayer to go, wait a minute, back up here, Rob. Thank God for what he's already done in your life. Thank him for the blessings that you already have. And I think that prepares our hearts before the Lord to really ask according to his will. Because Jesus says, anything you ask in my name, I will give to you. That's a promise. So we want to ask according to his will. We want to ask in his name, certainly. But we don't, and you know this, you don't want anything in your life that God doesn't want in your life. And we might ask for something that God doesn't want in our life, and sometimes the answer becomes no, doesn't it? Or, okay, here you spoiled brat, here's what you want, now deal with it. And we've all experienced these things. So prayer is so, so important. Prayer is positioning yourself, listen, under God's authority, and acknowledging him as Lord of your life. That's what prayer is. And I would say, unfortunately, statistically, prayer, even in a church, is small. A small amount of our time in a day gets spent to prayer. You know, some people think, oh, I just don't have time. And that's what I've written down. Thinking about the things that hinder us from prayer. And I wrote down this, I don't have enough time. I'm too busy. Well, if you're too busy and you don't have enough time for prayer, listen, you need prayer more than you think. You need God's help to help you with your time. Number two, I don't know how to pray. I hear that all the time. Oh, I just don't know how to pray. I say, if you know how to talk, you know how to pray, right? So it's communicating. It's nothing special. It's not a formula. It's not what are the holy words that we have to insert into our prayers so that God will hear us. No, just talk to him. Just like you would talk to a dear friend or a loved one. Just talk to him as you love him. He understands what when you make mistakes in prayer. Amen? It's like, oh, Lord, I didn't mean that. Why is it I just said that? I didn't mean that, Lord. Sorry. He knows. Number two, I don't think God hears my prayers. What that really means is he's not answering the way I want him to. Because listen to me, God hears all prayers. God hears every prayer that you pray, even when you don't even realize you're praying it to him. He hears them. So God always hears. I don't know what to pray for. Wow. If you don't have anything to pray for, come sit down with me with her coffee and I'll give you a list of things to pray for. We have a lot to pray for. And then finally, I'm just too tired. Ever get to the end of your day and realize, man, I haven't spent a lick of time with the Lord? And just try to pray in bed before you fall asleep. And you basically get to, oh, Lord, I pray, and out you go. It's like, wow, that was a quick prayer. See, all of these things are hindrances, but it doesn't change the fact that prayer is important. Prayer is important. Think about this. You can pray anywhere at any time, and God will be there. I think that's pretty cool. Location doesn't matter. In church, out of church, at home, in your car, on a walk, in a park, anywhere, everywhere. Pray. God always hears you. You can pray for those you know personally. And have you ever prayed for someone you absolutely know, don't even know, but you've heard about? And do you know that those prayers are heard and answered just as well as those that you know? I think that's an amazing thing, to be able to pray for someone I care about, but yet also to pray for someone who someone else cares about. That makes me want to care for them. And then finally, you can pray long prayers and you can pray short prayers. As long as your heart's in the prayer, that's what matters. Doesn't matter the length. The Nehemiah prayer. Or is it the Nehemiah prayer or the prayer of Jabez, right? The really short prayer. We've all prayed those, right? Lord, I'm getting ready to do something. Please help. I mean, they're short prayers, and God hears those. So prayer is important. For some of us, listen, prayer is a task. Prayer is something that goes on our to-do list, something that we must accomplish. For others, prayer is a treat. It's a privilege. It's an honor to be able to say, I'm going to spend time with God. And if we will schedule every other thing under earth on our calendars, why shouldn't we schedule prayer? Why shouldn't that be a priority in our lives? Prayer, simple. And that's what I see, honestly, as we get into chapter 8. We know that we came from chapter 7. There was kind of a pause in the action. We've seen six seals broken up to this point. Chapter 7 kind of gave us a little bit more background. Well, in chapter 8, the seventh seal gets broken. And it's amazing to me what happens in this seventh seal. So if you will read with me, chapter 8, verse 1, we read, after water, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. What is it about silence that makes us so uncomfortable? Probably because most of us don't have a lot of it. Moms and dads, you know, right? With the kids. But here in the breaking of the seventh seal, different than every other seal that we've looked at, silence in heaven for about a half an hour. This is what John witnesses. Every other seal, there's loud noises, there's thunderings, there's earthquakes, but on the seventh seal, hush. If you were here with us last week, chapter 7, we saw what? The 144,000 that were sealed on their foreheads by God. And then we saw an innumerable amount, a great multitude of people before the throne doing what? Worshiping God, shouting out to God, worthy is a God. It was a lot of commotion. And when the seventh seal is broken, there's power in silence, is there not? There's power in quietness. As much as we want it, we don't get a lot of it. Or maybe I'm just preaching for myself. Again, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Seven trumpets, seven angels, seven trumpets, and the seventh seal. Quiet, hush, and what John sees is the seven angels before the throne of God having seven trumpets. So the hush in heaven, absolute quiet, but it's about to get loud, isn't it? I mean, a trumpet doesn't make a little quiet noise, does it? It's not like a whatever other instrument that's real. No, a trumpet makes a big blast. So something's coming, but there's a hush in the crowd. For the first 30 minutes of after breaking, there's not a word, and we're going to see most of the things that we're going to look at in this first part of chapter 8. It's quiet the whole time until just before the angels begin to blow the trumpets. Now, here's the thing. Think about this for a minute. This seal, breaking this seal, is going to open up the seven trumpet judgments. And I mean, if you've read ahead, you know what's coming. It's going to be brutal. And here's this last 30 minutes of absolute quiet. Some look at this and listen to this. Think about this. The last 30 minutes of God's grace. Think about that. Before his wrath is poured out, there's 30 minutes of hush. I have to believe that all of heaven is going, it's coming, guys. Here it is. And there's just, everybody is speechless before the Lord. And think about the grace of God. The last 30 minutes of God's grace before man, before he pours out his wrath. I've got to believe with all my heart that God's heart is breaking at this moment. God's going, I really don't want to do this. I don't know about you, but I am glad that God, one of the characteristics of God is that he's long-suffering. Amen? Long-suffering puts up with a lot with us, doesn't he? He gives us a lot of grace. He gives us a lot of mercy. And maybe you've experienced it in your life. Don't take that for granted, my friends. And I would think that during this time of these last 30 minutes of quiet, everybody's looking around going, nobody's going to say anything, right? It's kind of that teacher when it says, pay attention, everybody be quiet. They're being quiet. See, it says in the Bible, it says, for I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord. He takes no pleasure. And so when God's wrath is getting ready to pour out, I know God's heart's breaking. And he's looking at us going, I really don't want to do this. I would rather you believe in me. I would rather you turn to me and repent. Guys, today is the day of salvation, right? Today is the time where people turn to the Lord and don't experience any of the things that we're about to read. And like I said, this seal is unique to every other one because there was so much noise that happened in the other ones, but not this one, a quiet. And I just found this interesting. I couldn't get over the hush, the 30 minutes of absolute quiet. And I wonder, in our day today, in our lives today, do we get even 30 minutes of quiet in a day? I mean, church might be the only time you get to sit somewhere that's at least somewhat quiet. I don't know what your workplace is like. I don't know what your home life is like. I don't know what your responsibilities are. But man, sometimes it's nice to just have 30 minutes to just sit and think, right? Think and be quiet. But I began to think about this quiet time, and this is what I feel like God is showing us. If I'm talking about getting away, you already see it, getting away to pray. I mean, does anybody have a lot of time to pray? No, I would imagine most of us not. Some of you probably do. Maybe you got a lot of time on your hands and you are able to pray. But sometimes we need to set time aside and get away to pray. And I feel like this, as God's saying this, preparation for prayer is important. Not to just, I don't know about you, but you ever just pray in haste? Man, all of a sudden something comes and immediately, I got to pray. And it's like urgent. And frustrating and hasty, instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to sit here for a minute and think about what I want to ask God, or think about what God is speaking to me, to be still and know that he's God. Do we not covet these times? Do we not covet these kind of minutes? We're going to get into it as I go through my study. We live in a day, it's so hectic, it's so busy, we're trying to accomplish way too much, and I believe it's killing us. I believe it's wearing us out. I want some time to be quiet. When Jesus himself, the Son of God, God in flesh, himself has to get away to pray, who are we to think that we can just do it anytime? You know what I mean? Sometimes we need to set time aside and get away. And I know a lot of you are going, I got no time to set aside, right? It's like, where am I going to fit prayer in? Listen to me, you need prayer in your life. And here's what Jesus says, Luke 5:16, hopefully it'll be overhead, says, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. To me, the key word in there, withdrew. Jesus withdrew. He got out of the way of distractions. He got out of that place where he had commotion, and he got to a place where he could be quiet. Do you have a place like that? Do you have somewhere that you can go to be quiet, to withdraw from life for a moment? And I know some of you are going, well, wait a minute, I'll get a lot of emails in that time. I might get a text. Somebody might call me. Do you realize how many years ago, maybe 20 years ago, cell phones didn't exist? Or if they did, it was only for a couple people. How did we live back then? How did we reach somebody? I remember when I had my first cell phone. My wife called me, I think, 3 or 4 times because I'd left the cell phone in my car while I went into Costco. I came out to get a voicemail. Why do you have a phone if you're not going to answer it? I'm like, oh, I'm not used to it. And this is the mentality we've got now, right? Have you ever left a message for someone and within an hour you're like texting him? Or probably not even within that time. Where are you? What's going on? How come you're not answering your phone? We've set a standard that we have to have immediate response. In the church, we send out emails reminding people. We've gotten to the point now where we need to send text messages out to remind people because, oh, I didn't read my email. Text is the way to go. It's fast. It's easy. We need to kick back. We need to find some time to be quiet, right? Jesus withdrew. Find time to withdraw. If you have to get up early, if you got to stay up late, if you got to do something in your lunch break, whatever it is, find some time to spend with God. Get away and pray. It's important. It was important for Jesus. It's important for us. Also, Jesus in Mark 1:35 says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight," I know that's weird for some of you people, "he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." There's something about getting up a little extra early. Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night, or maybe woken up in the wee hours of the morning, and you're like, oh, I'm awake. It's 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock or whatever, and you just can't get back to sleep. Is that the time you kind of go, yeah, I'm going to pray. Maybe if I pray, I'll fall asleep. Don't do that. Maybe God woke you up so you will pray. But there's something about being up early, being in your home, being in the place where you live, and nobody's awake, everything's quiet, and you can just sit and think and read and pray and do whatever it is you want. There's something about that, isn't that? We were sitting around a dinner meeting the other day, and there was a bunch of guys. We were all talking about what time we got up. Some people were getting up at 4, some at 5, some at 6. Some of us other guys, 7 or 8. And it's like, oh, how do you guys get up so early? But there's something about getting up early before the hustle and bustle of life. And maybe that's going to be your time. Maybe you got to set the alarm 30 minutes extra just so you can spend some time with the Lord. I mean, listen, time isn't just going to come to you. You've got to take it. You got to take it or it's going to be taken from you. It was one of my first jobs. I was 16 years old. And I worked at a supermarket in the bakery department. This is a good department for me. This started out my sweet tooth, I'm pretty sure. Oh, dude, let me tell you. I got to make donuts, and there is something about a hot glazed donut, hot out of the fryer, just after you dipped it in the glaze. Whew. They lost a lot of money when they had me on staff, that's for sure. But this job, I had to get up at 3 in the morning. I'm 16 years old. Didn't drive, well, I probably did drive, but I walked to the supermarket because it was right behind my house. 3 o'clock in the morning, going to work, walk in the supermarket. This is back when the supermarket was open, still 24 hours. I walked in, nobody there. I mean, no customers, very few staff, maybe a manager. The only people there were the bakers. You know, they've already been there. They've been there a couple hours. So I come in to help prepare the donuts, the cookies, all the pastries. I just love this job. Making me hungry just talking about it. But there was something about being there extra early when there was no commotion. I mean, even as a kid at 16 years old who didn't want to be up at 3 a.m., was coming in there going, man, there's just something you can get a lot done when nobody's distracted. Because in a few hours, there's going to be customers, there's going to be more employees, and there's going to be hectic morning, right? And this is what I think we have to learn, is that we've got to find those times. And I'm not saying morning is necessarily important. Maybe it's sometime during the noon, or maybe at night somehow. You know, if you've got kids after they go to bed, what, I don't know, find some time where there's little distractions. That's what Jesus did. Getting up early, getting away, and finding those times. We just need to find our solitary place. The timing doesn't matter. If you're not a morning person, then you're probably a night person. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with being a night person. Ways to get silent before God in a busy life. Anybody need those? No? Okay. Ways to get silent in a busy life. Utilize your time in your car on the way to work. Turn the radio off. Don't close your eyes. But just spend time talking to God. I don't know if your ride to work is 10 minutes, 30 minutes, 45, whatever it is. Use some of that time to turn the radio off, turn your phone in the, put the phone in the back seat or something in the trunk, and just spend some time with God. If you did that every single day on the way to work, and maybe even on the way back from work, do you know what your relationship with God would be like? Do you know how much of a person of prayer you'd be? God, I think God would be start putting things on your heart. The problem is we get in our cars, we get on our phones, or we shouldn't be reading our texts, but we get on our phones to talk to somebody on the ride, and we waste that time. Because I know we're busy people, and we got to find every minute to get things done. Sometimes we just need to set it apart. When you're at home, turn your cell phone off. Again, if someone needs to get a hold of you, they'll get a hold of you eventually. Turn the cell phone off, turn your tablet off, your computer off, your TV off. To you young kids, video games. Don't kill me. Turn the video games off. Get away. When you're at home, and I know it's not going to be easy, but take time to do that. Those are times you can do that. Number two, put prayer, I said this already, put prayer on your schedule, on your to-do list or on your calendar, the same way you do everything else in life. And then lastly, take time that does not include checking your email, social media, or the news. Set those things aside for a time, for a season. Most of us, I would admit, maybe it's only me. We get in bed and we pull out our phones or we get our laptops. Some of you don't. God bless you. God bless you. Because you know what? I did some research. This is from WebMD. I don't know if it's an authority or what. But her name's Lynn. She has a bad habit of sending emails at all hours of the night, at 11:45, 12:29, and even as late as 2:23 a.m. I know some of you identify with this. When the rest of the world is checked out, Lynn is plugged in. She says, I spend my days thinking of emails I need to send, and the only time I can catch up is after hours. Whether it's email, a video game, or the web, or TV, electronic devices and their offerings keep millions of Americans like Lynn connected 24/7. But the price for leading our fully wired lives is high. These diversions can keep us from both falling asleep and sleeping well. One of the most simple but important reasons technology affects our sleep is cognitive stimulation, says Mark Rosenkind, former director of the Fatigue Countermeasures Program at the NASA Ames Research Center and president and chief scientist at the scientific consulting firm Alertness Solutions. As your brain revs up, its electrical activity increases and neurons start to race, the exact opposite of what should be happening before you sleep. A second reason has to do with our body. The physical act of responding to a video game or even an email makes our body tense, explains Rosenkind. As you get stressed, your body can go into a fight or flight response. And as a result, cortisol, a stress hormone, is released, creating a situation hardly conducive to sleep. The glow from our electronics is also at work against quality shut-eye. The small amounts of light from these devices pass through the retina into the part of the hypothalamus, the area of the brain that controls several sleep activities and delays the release of sleep-inducing hormone melatonin. And here's the important part. Altogether, our wired way of winding down at night means we're sleeping less and less. As you stay up later on a consistent basis, you readjust your internal clock and delayed sleep phase syndrome sets in. Now your body physically can't sleep or fall asleep until the new set time, whether it's midnight or 2 a.m. The number one way to get better sleep, turn off the technology, especially in the sanctity of your bedroom. In other words, read a book, read a Bible, or say a prayer before you go to sleep. I don't know about you, but sitting on that little device in the dark keeps us awake. And maybe some of us, we pray for this for different people. Oh, I'm having a hard time falling asleep, or I'm having a hard time sleep, or I wake up in the middle of the night. Listen, we live in a society where people are connected 24/7, and there's research that says we're killing ourselves. And I know it's not going to be easy. Just last night, it happened to me. I shut the phone off, I put it down, tried to sleep. Does this happen to you? You hear the phone vibrate? Does this happen to anybody else? I'm laying there and the phone vibrates, which means I either got an email or a text. And now here comes the choice. Do I get up? Do I roll back over? Do I start this whole process over again? Or do I ignore it? Last night I ignored it. But you know how hard that is? It's like somebody needs me. And what really gets me is when it's just the WKRN app saying what the weather's going to be. It's like, ugh, don't care. Trying to sleep. Do you experience this? Listen, guys, Jesus got away. Jesus got into a solitary place to pray. And if God needs quiet to pray, I think we do too. Wouldn't you agree? We need quiet. And it's not just going to come to us. We've got to take it. We've got to take the time to pray. So that prepares us, putting ourselves in the right place. But notice what else is happening in heaven in verse 3 of chapter 8. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Guys, I'm just amazed at this. How many times in the book of Revelation, in heaven, before the throne of God, that our prayers are there. Here this other angel comes. Some believe that this is Jesus. This is not Jesus. If it was Jesus, it wouldn't be some other angel, right? Another angel comes on scene having a golden censer. If you know anything about the tabernacle and the way God set up the tabernacle, I actually have a picture of a censer. Maybe if you put that up there. That's one that looks like it, and this is one that has the incense coming out of it. So the high priest would carry this, go into the holy place at the altar of incense as an indication of the prayers going up before God, just before the Holy of Holies. And here we see in Revelation this picture of an angel coming with a censer with all the prayers of the saints mixed together, ascending up before God. Think about this. Please, let this picture burn into your mind. Just as we talked about in chapter 5 with the golden bowl of incense, which was the prayers of the saints, if you think about your prayers coming up as smoke before God, in the presence of God, maybe, just maybe, your intensity to pray or your consistency to pray might be heightened. God, my prayer is before you. In chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, we're seeing our prayers going up to God. All the prayers, it says the prayers of all the saints. And just like I asked about in the golden, with the golden bowls, in the prayers that were in there, how many of your prayers are here right now? How many of your prayers? Are there enough of your prayers? Can there ever be enough of your prayers? How many of your prayers are going up to God in His presence? He's about to pour out His wrath. He has hushed heaven. And the one thing that, to me, that is central besides Jesus Christ is the prayers of the saints. If it's that important to God, I think it should be that important to us. I think prayer should be something that we depend on. What is it that's keeping you from praying? What is it that's keeping you from spending time with God? It happens. I think it's one of the greatest tools of the enemy is to discourage us in our prayer. And maybe it's a list of prayers that we think aren't being answered. My friends, God sometimes takes a while to answer prayers. Be patient. Be faithful. Just keep praying, because these things are coming up before God. David said it like this in Psalm 141, verse 2. Let my prayer be set before you as incense. And here we see it in the book of Revelation. Every single prayer we pray, everything you say to God is important to Him and is precious to Him. And it's before Him. Do you ever get distracted when you pray? Nobody. We all get distracted, right? I mean, I do it all the time. Okay, I'm going to pray. All right. Lord, please, when I'm getting ready to study for my message, Lord, please, just Holy Spirit, come upon me and take care of me. And I got laundry I need to get done. And man, I got to cut my grass. And the leaves are falling. I got to rake. It's like, whoa, what happened? I was just spending time with God. Now all of a sudden, I'm cutting grass. You ever get like that? We get distracted. so easy. Why? We're so inundated with stuff and responsibilities. We have got to turn the tables around so that our activities, listen, get distracted by God's presence. Wow. While I'm cutting grass, I could pray, right? While I'm doing laundry or having someone do my laundry, I don't know what. While I'm doing laundry, I'm praying. Dishes, dogs, life, work, pray. I have a good pastor friend that says, prayer to him is a conversation he has with God all day long. And I love that. You wake up, Lord, thank you for the day. Please be with me. Bless my, you know, bless my life, bless my journey to work, bless my meetings, whatever. And then during the meetings, Lord, thank you for showing up in that meeting. Again, always talking to God. Bring God in. Get a way to pray. Sometimes life gets in the way, so bring God into your life. And here's a tool I want to share with you guys that has been effective for me. Now listen, this is when you really want to spend some time praying. It's called praying through the tabernacle or praying through the temple. Within the temple and the tabernacle, there's 8 major places that God has set up for sacrifices and incense and candlesticks and these types of things. And if you think about these things and pray according to these things, you'll have very well-rounded, very, very powerful prayers because you'll hit all the spots. You won't be so focused on yourself and those types of things. I'm going to put a slide up. It's also in our church app. It's called Praying Through the Tabernacle. These things and scriptures that support this. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise." So that's the first 2 stops, the gate and the courtyard. You first start prayer by thanking God. Certainly as we look at the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." So putting God first. But when you're thanking God, you're putting him first. So be thankful for the things God has done. Then praise him. Enter courts with praise. Praising type prayers. "God, you're so good. Thank you for the way you showed up and how you're doing things in my life." Those types of things. The brass altar. Go to the next slide. It kind of gives you the 8 locations. If you can get this picture in your head or print it out or something like this, this will help you. Again, this is the gate. Face east, that's where it's there. So the gate, the courtyard, and then the altar. This is where the sacrifices were done by the priests. So there is where we want to pray confession. Okay, "God, I'm confessing my sin before you. Forgive me." It's repentance. It's those types of things. Forgive me as I forgive others type of thing. The next stop is the brass laver. I don't want to go through all of these. These things are available to you. It's the place of meditation. Okay, this was the place where the priests washed themselves. As they look into the water, they see the reflection. So you're praying there, meditating. Jesus says, "You are already clean because of the word which you've spoken to me." So we think about how the word has cleansed us. Showbread. Jesus said, "Give us this day our daily bread." That's the next stop. The candlestick was where the type of the menorah where the candle was lit. We pray for ministry, that our light would shine, those types of things. And then the altar of incense is really what I'm trying to get to. This is where we are in Revelation right now. The high priest brings the censer with incense in it, and he brings it to the altar of incense, and that's where he's getting the fire we're going to see in the next section. This is the place where we spend time interceding for others. Okay, do you see how it breaks in? And then the last place is the Holy of Holies. That's our place of worship. We have access to the Holy of Holies because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And so we spend that last time in prayer just worshiping the Lord. So I don't know if that will help you, if you have this idea, to be able to go through these things and to help us focus on our prayers. It will keep us from being distracted. Why? Because you're going to be looking forward to the next area to pray for. The other thing to do, and I've said this many times, pray out loud. It's weird at first. But there's something about hearing yourself pray that is very powerful. And it helps you stay focused. Because as soon as you start hearing about laundry and cutting the grass, you'll get back on track. Because you hear yourself saying it. So I don't know if that helps. But again, it's found on our website, in our church app, so you can find that. You know, Jesus says this. "Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do." I opened up with that. "That the Father may be glorified in the Son." I just want to touch on this one other thing. When you pray, pray in the powerful name of Jesus. I remember many times growing up in my faith, having people come into my life and say, hey, I notice you pray like this, and I just want to give you some insight. I mean, it's helped get direction. When we just say, you know, in your name we pray, or amen at the end of our prayer, it's a small little detail, but the reality is if we're praying in Jesus' name, then we're praying in his authority. Do not neglect the power of Jesus' name. I don't care if you start out your prayer, Lord, I come to you in Jesus' name. That is, it just sets the tone, it sets the bar. And then the other thing is, stop telling God what his name is. Lord God, I thank you so much, Father, that you would just bless me, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Just, it's like, that would be me like saying, oh, Lou, I just love you, Lou. Thank you, Lou, for being my wife, Lou. I wish you just have a blessed day, Lou. It's like, stop. Again, it's an indication, and I don't mean to, I want to help you be someone who prays powerful prayers. They're filler words because we're trying to fill long prayers. Listen, God, I love you. Help me today in Jesus' name is an effective prayer that he hears, that he answers. You don't need a lot of flowery words. Just do it is the key. Just do it. So we prepare, we'll get ourselves away, set ourselves in a place, then we actually spend time praying effectively, praying purposely. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, what? Avails much. Is effective. We need to pray effective prayers, and this may be a tool that it will help you. And to be mindful that they're going up before God, just like smoke. It's a beautiful thing. The last and final thing, look at verse 5 in chapter 8. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Verse 5 and 6, 30 minutes of silence has ended. And the angel takes the censer at the altar of incense, takes the fire, puts it in the censer, and chucks it to earth. And this is God's wrath being poured out. And we see the noises, or in some Bible says voices. I mean, there's lamenting going on at this time. Thunderings and lightnings and all of these things that are happening as God's wrath is being poured out. And I just want to remind all of us, God doesn't want to do this. God doesn't want one person to perish. God doesn't want one person to die separate from him. God's heart is breaking. And what I see also here in this particular section, if you remember back in chapter 6, verse 10, the souls that were under the altar, when they came out and said, how long, O Lord, until you'll avenge our... This is the answer to their prayer. Now is the time God's wrath is being poured out. My friends, this is the time we're reading that's going to happen in the future. Then God is going to answer all of our prayers. How long, God, do we have to wait? Do you ever wonder that? Do you ever wonder how much longer God is going to sustain the condition of this world before he returns? Have we ever asked, how much longer, Lord, do I have to be in this job? How much longer, Lord, do I have to be in this place? Do we ever ask that? Yes. And one day he's going to answer us. We just need to be patient. Just need to be patient. God's grace endures for a long time. Amen? That last 30 minutes of grace was there. And our 30 minutes of grace is here for us. God has your prayers ever before him. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. And God will judge and make everything right at one point. And we can trust him that. And it will be so fair. It'll be so wonderful. We'll be like, God, you are so perfect. I wonder, will we take the time to get away and to pray, to take the time to be quiet, to push away the distractions, to withdraw from whatever it is, to find time to do it? I just think it's hard for me to understand how we'll fit all kinds of other things in our schedules. You know, oh, I got to go to a movie. or I got to get together with some friends, or go to dinner with some friends. Anyway, we love to be around people. Fellowship is an important part. But prayer is also so important, because I see, as God's wrath is being poured out, I see prayer as front and center. And if it's important to God there, it's important to him now. And I pray all of us will challenge ourselves. I challenge you this week to get out, to spend some time. Just start somewhere and let it become so natural to you that you do it very simply and very easily. Father, we thank you for your word today. We are grateful, God, that you hear our prayers. And God, it's not just a bunch of words that we string together in a crafty sentence. But Lord, it's our hearts being poured out to you. You know what we need before we ask. You know what is going on in our lives before we ask. But yet you want to hear from us. I'm thankful that the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. That truly the life of Christ upon this earth in the Gospels teaches us how to pray. For we see time and time again the how you prayed and the way you prayed and the time you prayed. And I pray that we would do those things, God. I truly believe that if we as a body would spend more time on our knees before you, that we would find greater strength to endure the days that we live. So I pray for each and every one here, God. I pray that this message burns in their heart, that the fact that our prayers are ever before you is so powerful to me. And we look forward to you answering our prayers. We look forward to your will being done. We ask, God, bless our lives, bless our homes, bless our country, but help us to turn back to you, Lord, even more in these last days. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.